The long and winding road leads us here to the doorstep of the postseason. One win, a little bit of help away from ending 17 seasons of misery.
Allen steps up. Jumps over the defenders to pick up the first. Now, how many quarterbacks have you ever seen hurdle anyone?
Oops, he throws. Touchdown! Andre Reed for the touchdown! The Bills have scored!
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. You're listening to the Red, White and Buffalo Blues, a UK Bills podcast. Matt and Alex here. Hello, Alex. How you doing?
What do you think about LeSean McCoy and Zay Jones for Jadeveon Clowney?
Ooh, was that just come through on the old Twitter sphere?
A guy I follow on Twitter suggested it, and I don't know what to think.
I don't know.
Do I tweet at him with a "your stupid" gif, or do I tweet at him with a "you're a genius" gif? I don't know.
To be honest, I would probably say no to it, because he's going to incorporate a big contract when he restructures. Yes, we probably have cap space, but
look at it this way: you only get 1 year of McCoy anyway. He's gonna get cut next year, and Zay Jones.
I thought his contract ended last year. Next year,
yeah. Zay Jones, is he any good?
Yeah.
I mean, we could go back and do our wide receiver 53-man roster prediction right now, and he would be on the bubble.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, with the Clowney thing and LeSean McCoy, correct me if I'm wrong, some people may correct me, that I think he would be a free agent next year, so...
No, that's true, yes.
So, technically, unless obviously he regresses and they like what they see from Singletary... Yes, mm-hmm. And the one way I can see that move potentially happening, and could be a good move, because it gets him off the books, gives Singletary more reps, obviously behind Frank Gore, for the time being.
I don't know. I think Singletary goes into the one spot, and Frank Gore stays as the backup.
Yeah.
I just think, does it help you this year? Does Clowney put you over the edge? Obviously, he would be replacing Trent Murphy, who's not the worst, but it would be an upgrade.
Yeah, but then Trent Murphy, he's had his injury issues last season, and also the Redskins. He's come back and actually played lights out here. I think, it might be the missing piece of that defensive team. But then you've got the likes of Mike Love and Daryl Johnson. They're both making plays, so it's a case of are you going to try and develop your own for long-term success, or are you going to try and get Clowney in for a year and potentially, if they can agree to a new contract, actually get him in further? Is it you're looking for a win now situation, or just to get us to the playoffs, or are you looking in that future where you've got Mike Love and Daryl Johnson both performing well in training camp and
He's on another level than them, though. I mean, you only maybe do that if you think you can re-sign him, because I don't think a defensive end puts us into the playoffs this year. I think we still need the most help on offense. And you can't really trade for a superstar wide receiver. And if you do, he's going to take weeks to learn the system. So I don't know. It's just something that I thought about. Just seeing it on Twitter now. But anyway, I'm good. Great to be back. We haven't had a show in a while. I just spent a week in the south of France. Dear God, it was hot. I was bored to come back to the British weather, and it's friggin' 32 today. What is happening?
Yep. I know. When I've been there in my bedroom, in the house, all that, sweating my bollocks off.
And man, you guys, you don't have air conditioning in your houses. Like in America, every house has whole house air conditioning. My God, I miss it.
We do have air conditioning. It's called a fan.
That's not the same thing. Oh my God. I have two fans running in my bedroom alone, and it's just doing nothing but blowing hot air on me. I couldn't fall asleep last night. not going to fall asleep tonight. But anyway, let's talk about football.
Yes. Well, since the last time we've been on, we've had two other preseason friendlies against the Panthers and the who's the last team we play? I've just lost it now. Lions. That's the one.
The team that we always play in the preseason.
Well, Panthers. Oh, no, Detroit Lions.
We play the Lions. We play the Lions every year.
3-0. I told you. Be optimistic. Come on. I want to see your optimism here.
Yeah. I'm doing jazz hands right now.
We could go 4-0 in the preseason. That'd give us a big confidence boost.
You know the 0-16 Lions went 4-0 in the preseason, right?
Ah, but we're not the Lions, though.
No. Josh Allen looked good in the Panthers game, didn't he?
Yep.
Hey, Josh Allen didn't look very good in the Lions game, did he?
I'd give you that. On some of them, yes. On some of the plays, most of the plays, yeah. I think he still needs to learn how to protect the ball rather than decide to go for the hero ball down the middle.
Hey, do it in the preseason. I think that was his learn his lesson moment. So that's good. Yeah. Do it now. Get it out of the way. Get yelled at by your teammates and coaches. Don't do it again.
Yeah. I mean, what we've seen from those two preseason games, I'm sure you agree, is we're seeing a lot more intense battles, not just for the roster spot, but for starting roles. I mean, you've got Levi Wallace and Kevin Johnson going head-to-head for that spot opposite Trey White. Wallace barely gets beaten, does have his moments of lapses, and then obviously we saw against the Panthers, Kevin Johnson taking Will Greer's pass 71 yards back for a touchdown. Mm-hmm. You've got the TJ Yeldon versus Sonoris Perry battle.
Barn burner that is.
Yep. I mean, Yeldon, I think, now potentially got the edge over there. Obviously, I think unless Perry's been injured, I can't remember if he was injured or just didn't feature, Yeldon's shown up in the passing game to show he's got that versatility.
Yep.
Does he play special teams? We would need to double check on that one, but
So I have a note on that. Before we get to the secondary section of our 53-man roster, I just kind of wanted to review what we've gotten wrong so far, so let's hit that later.
But, okay.
I mean, just my biggest takeaway from the last two preseason games, and my God, I need to keep reminding myself that anyone can look good in the preseason, but Duke Williams looks good, doesn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, after training camp where he was non-existent against the Colts, he wasn't in and out. He's really stepped up recently.
Big time.
But my question, I've seen it on a lot on Twitter a few times, seen it in reports and all that. Your view, do you think, because the way McKenzie and Duke Williams are going at it, do you think they take seven, or as you said earlier, do you think that Zay Jones is on that bubble, considering he played well into the fourth quarter against the Lions? Do you think they take seven, or do you think both McKenzie and Williams get it, and Zay Jones misses out?
That's a really interesting question. Looking at my 53-man roster, where do you take a position away from? Tight end, maybe? Running back? Offensive line? But no, there's no need to have seven wide receivers on this team. You only need five or six. Mm. I mean, you got to think Andre Roberts can fill in at the position if necessary, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, what does McKenzie do better than any of those guys? It's tough. And yeah, I mean, talking about Zay Jones again, I mean, show me something. I mean, I'm not seeing the practices, but the people that are seeing the practices aren't saying anything special about him either. So, I mean, the team is still high on Robert Foster.
I think he's been out.
He's been injured, so that's why we haven't really seen him in the games.
Yeah. I think it, again, like we always say, it's going to be interesting selections on that. I mean, a few other things I've seen, not specifically roster battle wise, but especially against the Panthers and a little bit in the Lions, is the penalties are coming back into play. And I think it was against the Panthers, 2nd and 27, we decided to run the ball.
You don't need to do anything. I mean, I think that's more a preseason thing than anything. I mean, don't go out there. Don't go do one of the plays that you like in that position. Don't put your good plays on tape.
So you would go then during the preseason, don't explore your playbook, keep that secret, just go vanilla on vanilla.
Yeah, because you can practice 2nd and 27, you know, when your practices are closed to the media. That's better than anything. You just, for preseason, you need to make sure that you have guys on the team who are good at the fundamentals.
Yeah. And
the vanilla play. If you're good at vanilla play, then you deserve a spot on the roster.
Hmm.
And I think that's kind of what the goal should be. That's kind of why the starters shouldn't have played as long in the Lions game. You had Trey White getting hurt. You had Frank Gore getting hurt. You got to stop doing this stuff. Look at all the good teams. I mean, I'm looking at the stat sheet from week 3 in the preseason, and I don't see anybody on the Rams that I recognize. You know, I don't see anybody on, you know, the Packers that I recognize. So, yeah, stop doing this.
Yeah, I think what was McDermott's, reasoning for it, we wanted them to play at least the first half and the first part of the third quarter, so they're getting used to that warming up or going in for halftime, then coming straight back out in time for to start the third quarter. But
then simulate that at practice, but don't put your guy. The other team's players are going to give their all, which increases the risk of injury. You're not maybe going to see that at a practice, so let's just take it easy. I mean, you know these guys can play, so let's get to the real stuff already. I mean, I'm sick of the preseason. Heck, can't you tell?
Speaking
of preseason, I just wanted to throw this out there. Did Nate Peterman not look great or what?
Yes, the Nate Peterman talk. Here we go. Nate Peterman, he's going to...
I'm so excited. No, guys, I'm joking, okay? I tweeted it, and people got serious, and I apologize. I thought the sarcasm came through, but apparently you can't type sarcastically. You know, he did it last year in the preseason. Nathan Peterman, classic preseason performer, but man... What a story. He's so great.
You ruined my fun. I was looking forward to talking about that. I thought how he's gonna usurp Derek Carr and actually
I told you 3 to 4 seconds.
Throw for 5,000 yards with 1,100 yards to Antonio Brown without a helmet on.
Yeah.
It is what it is. I think that's hope none of the Raiders are actually getting too excited about that either. Because we do know what happens. But hey, at least the Colts. Yeah, that's the one. The Colts gotta be lucky that they had someone retire during the preseason, so they had time to adjust rather than quit and retire halfway through AM or at halftime during a game.
So what's your take on that? I feel like your intro. Are you saying that it just mirrors what happened to us last year? Or are you saying that he quit on the team and I stand behind Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
The fans who booed him are horrible people. Mm. The fans who doubt him, who question him, are horrible people. You're a junk person if you are at all going to say anything negative about Andrew Luck and what he did to the team. Look, these people play a game. It's entertainment for us common people, but they put their bodies and lives on the line for us to enjoy watching a game. If the dude is mentally and physically injured, support your family for the rest of your life. Don't end up like so many other players with these brain diseases and stuff like that. The guy made the right decision.
Yeah.
Anybody who's burning his jersey, wants refunds on season tickets, all this stuff that I'm seeing online, you're a garbage person and stop it. Think about the human being. What happened to decency?
Yeah.
Why does entertainment take precedence over everything else? You see that in our politics. It's entertainment instead of caring and policy and the important stuff. It makes me so angry. Andrew Luck, yeah. Good on you. Anyone who doesn't like Andrew Luck and what he did, you're a garbage human being.
I think, what was it? It's because of his shoulder, wasn't it? Was it his shoulder?
I think what he said in his press conference was that his life is nothing but play, injury, rehab, and it's just taking a toll on him mentally and physically. Mm. He worries about his ability to play with his kids, to be there for them. At a certain point, like, rehab is harder than people think. I don't know if you've ever been injured or anything, but the mental toll that rehab can take on you, feeling broken like that. I did physical therapy for a back injury that I had in my early 20s, and my God, I feel my back, I have the back of like a 60-year-old. Imagine that in your shoulder and your ankle and your leg and your chest, you know, it's just...
Looking over his injury history, it was his throwing shoulder.
Yeah,
that was the reason. And for me, I agree with what he's actually done it now, rather than actually play for another season, make it worse. Because I've had the same surgery on my shoulder a couple of years ago, and that stopped me playing football. I haven't played football or soccer for about 2.5 years now, and it's got
we are not in the shape that Andrew Luck is in.
Yeah. I mean, I've got a little bit of timber, just a tiny bit, but I can understand where he's actually gone with the shoulder. I mean, for me, keeping I am throwing the ball, I'm catching the ball high, I'm diving on my shoulder. So the more I've done that, I mean, I've had one practice game since my injury. And it's taken me like a week or two to actually recover. And I was holding my shoulder throughout that game.
Right.
So I can understand where he'd actually come from, especially with shoulders. And I wish him the best of luck, really, to be honest. But at least he's done it during the preseason
At least he's doing it before it gets like really serious.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
and it gives the Colts at least they're going to run with Jacoby Brissett. That's for sure. Those two, I think, will be their one and two this year. I think Brissett is ready-made replacement. He's done well in relief for him.
He has. I mean, they went from a Super Bowl contender to now a playoff bubble team. Mm. I don't think Brissett can do what Luck does. But it's very interesting. I had a guy, we just finished my fantasy draft. My style of fantasy draft is we do it where we do it all on Facebook Messenger, and I have a Google Doc, an Excel sheet that we share, and there's no time limit. So this draft took us 2 weeks to do.
Yeah.
I wish I started a little later because I had a guy who drafted Lamar Miller and T.Y. Hilton, and that guy is not a happy camper right now.
I mean, just something that's just popped up on my on alert on my phone is a bit of a roster news. You know how I was excited about a couple of weeks back when we speak to Matt Fairburn about the punter situation.
Oh my God, is this hashtag punter news?
Yeah, it seems like unless they go after Ryan Allen released from the Patriots. Corey Bojorquez will be pretty much a starting punter.
Congratulations. I can go to sleep easy tonight now because I stay up every night worrying about who our punter is going to be.
Good, because as of about a few minutes ago, I've just had a notification through that the Bills have released Corey Carter. That was close there. and actually added defensive end Jeff Holland to the roster. He was a undrafted free agent out of Auburn, signed with the Broncos in 2018.
What do we need linebacker or defensive end depth for? I have him as a live. Jeff Holland is a linebacker. Did you say linebacker?
I've got it down or the Bills website's got him or down as defensive end, so unless he's one of the hybrids.
Yeah. The Buffalo Bills PR Twitter's got him as a linebacker. Anyway, what do we need a linebacker depth for? We must be sitting some guys in the next. He's probably going to be a preseason number four only guy.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think let's say we've gone through the defensive line a couple of weeks back, so we can move on now. We'll move on to the secondary. But before we do that, you will remember that I put a post out on Twitter and Facebook about that last place for the linebacker spot.
Mm-hmm.
Between Deion Lacey and Corey Thompson.
Yeah.
We gave it to the fans to decide, and they decided Corey Thompson would get that last spot.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, as I think I saw more Deion Lacey against the Lions than I did Corey Thompson. I think he was out injured or rested or something. But it's interesting to see that. But that's who the fans think the Bills will use as their last linebacker spot. So we would have Edmonds, Milano, Lorenzo Alexander, Julian Stanford, Voshon Joseph, and Corey Thompson.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, before we get into the secondary, I figured since this is the last important segment of the 53-man roster, I mean, who cares about special teams? Let's go over.
To be honest.
I mean, you do. Punter battle. But let's see what we got wrong. Let's see what we got wrong. Quarterback, good.
Yep.
We got quarterback down, right?
Yeah.
Running back, I admitted that I got Yeldon wrong, but I think now he's maybe playing his way back onto the roster. Could he make it over Perry?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's maybe a spot that we got wrong.
Yep.
Wide receiver looks good, unless they go with what you said, go seven.
Yeah,
but the six that we picked look good.
Yeah, I mean tight end.
Tight end is interesting. I'm reading a lot of people saying that Jason Kroom is playing his way off of the roster.
That may be where that seventh wide receiver spot could come from. They cut.
Yeah.
They roll with Knox, Sweeney, and Smith to start with. If Kroom is on the pup list, if he is, he won't be available till after the bye week.
Right.
And then that could mean that still Duke Williams and Isaiah McKenzie could, if they get it, could be playing for that last spot.
Yeah.
I mean, O-line pretty much set in stone, possibly. Maybe.
I don't know about our backups on the O-line because there's been a lot of adds and drops since we did that show. So, I mean, as long as Russell Bodine doesn't make it, I think that our O-line is fine.
I think Dawkins, Spain, Morse, Ford, Inseki, Long, Feliciano, I think they're set.
Those are the locks. Yeah, the last spot is just up for grabs, pretty much.
I would say watch out for Ryan Bates. They got him from the Eagles as part of the Eli Howell trade. He played, I think, played left tackle against the Lions. He's played safety. Yeah, he's a very athletic safety for the defensive lineman. He's played center against the Panthers. So, and apparently he can play all five spots. So he may potentially get that last spot over Teller, or we've gone Teller, but that one could be another case of chalk it up. We may be maybe correct, we may be not.
D-line, I'm seeing just from the play and from other articles that Daryl Johnson over Mike Love is kind of where they're going.
Yep.
I don't know. I know Mike Love was a big fan. You're a big fan of his.
Yeah, I think both those guys, if there was a way of getting them both on the roster, I would keep both of them on there. But I still have Love just over, just for that extra bit of experience. But obviously, Dale Johnson being a draft pick and actually now starting to improve quite a bit, I think that's going to be an interesting battle for that last spot.
And then linebackers, we got spot on. So now, so that's kind of what we've missed so far. But now with the secondary, what do you got?
I've got Locks. I've got Trey White, Kevin Johnson, Teron Johnson, Levi Wallace, and shoot, who do I have? I had Captain Mullerin.
Yes, those are my locks as well. So it comes down to who?
It comes down to Lafayette Pitt, Ceylon Neal, Ryan Lewis, Cam Lewis. I think there was another one. I can't remember clearly. Teron Johnson, I'm just trying to look through my list now. Cam Lewis, yep. Ryan Lewis, yep. I think that's it, actually. Captain Mullerin. Denzel Rice.
Last spot is going to be decided in the fourth preseason game. So let's not dwell too much on that. I mean, the locks are the locks. The five are the starters. You know, those are the guys you're going to see. The top four are the guys that you're going to see the most. Trey White, Levi Wallace, Kevin Johnson, Teron Johnson, and Captain Mullerin. It just comes down to who's going to be starting as the X and the Y. Trey White on one side, and then who's the number two?
I've got Levi Wallace at the moment. Yeah, I've got Levi Wallace. I think, let's say, last season, the last 8 weeks, he was one of the top performing cornerbacks. Yes, he needs to learn how to get his hands to the ball and actually get those interceptions just to obviously lock down the other side. But I think at the moment he's got a slight edge on Kevin Johnson, but it's going to be potentially that decision where either way we're going to be strong at the other side of the cornerback, regardless if we play Wallace or Kevin Johnson.
Yeah, I made my 53-man roster at the beginning of the month on August 1st, and I obviously had EJ Gaines as a starter, but that didn't work out. So, it's fine. I think I would like to have a better number two. I don't know about those guys as being like long-term answers there. They're serviceable for now. I mean, it could be worse.
I mean, the one thing I do think they do take six. That's why I'm saying cornerback wise. And I don't know about you, but for me, I think that could be Ceylon Neal. I think with him, you've got him. He came over last. He came into the Bills as a safety. He's worked as predominantly as a nickel, but he's also done that the big nickel role, lining up as what Raphael Bush did last year.
Yeah.
That type of role. I think with that, and I think he has played special teams, I think that would give him the edge a bit more over Pitts, being the fact that obviously Raphael Pitts is special teams ace and pretty much a cornerback by trade only. I think what Neil's doing, getting special team reps and actually being interchangeable, gives them more that flexibility for how they want to run that secondary. Don't know about that.
Yeah, it's one of those things that I try not to pay too much attention to, because then I become like obsessed with everything.
Yeah.
Good for you. You made the roster. I'll recognize you maybe once every other game.
Yeah.
You know, let's hope I don't have to see you, because that means that our good guys got hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I think...
What about... Go to safety.
Go to safety. Obviously, Poyer, Hyde, Kirk Coleman.
Yep.
I think he's a lucky, because he's come from the Panthers. He's been in that system with McDermott.
Yes, those I've got three locks as well. So again, we have the last backup spot.
I've got Jaquan Johnson. I think the Bills will go Jaquan Johnson. I think looking at that last against the Lions, what was it, in the fourth quarter, he actually managed to strip the ball.
Yeah.
Caused the fumble.
Real smart play, real strong play.
And he's been getting glowing reviews, and I don't think Dean Marlowe has been seen that much during the last few games. So I think this one, would be his Johnson's to lose.
Yeah, I definitely have him as the edge over Dean Marlowe. Again, another situation where they'll sub in, but let's hope that Hyde and Poyer stay healthy, because big drop off between them and Jaquan Johnson. Kurt Coleman, yeah. Serviceable. You know, he's your, when you talk about an average ball player, when you talk about like what WAR is in baseball, if anybody follows baseball, WAR is wins above replacement. Kurt Coleman's your replacement level player.
But, yeah.
I think when we had Matt Fairburn on, I asked him what position on defense, if anything, is there a hole? Is there anything to worry about on defense? And I think it might be secondary depth.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's always depth, though, isn't it? Depth is always, but because it's more of a passing league now, I think, and with at least, you know, like Gronk being gone from our division, and there isn't really a good tight end out there aside from, like, well, we don't play any this year. You know, we don't play any Kelce's or little Kittles or anything like that. So,
I think secondary is always going to be our strongest point. I think it is the strongest point we're going to have.
Oh, on our starters, yeah. I mean, Trey White, Levi Wallace, Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer, that's fantastic.
Even the backups.
Yeah?
Even the backups, I think. I mean, okay, Saron Neal, Captain Milleran, okay, yes, been there for a while. Jaquan Johnson is a rookie, but you can see that this is McDermott. He was a former safety. Don't remember. He was a former safety at William & Mary before he actually became the defensive coordinators, all that. So he knows the position a bit more. And the way they've drafted, especially when you've got Levi Wallace, who they signed as an undrafted last year, has actually come up and made pretty much immediate impact in the side.
Well, I guess maybe it's a good thing, because if I don't remember you from last year, that means you did your job.
Yeah.
Because on defense, as long as you don't make a mistake, then you're good in my book. If I recognize your name on defense and you're not getting sacks or interceptions, if I'm like, ugh, that guy again, then that means that we have a problem. So the fact that I can't really pick on any of these guys means that, I mean, we were the best pass defense in the NFL last year.
Yeah.
So I guess maybe I was wrong and I spoke before I thought.
And you've returned at least, well, five, maybe six of last year's team, depending if you choose Neal or Pitts. You've got White, Wallace, Teron Johnson, Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde, and one of Neal or Pitts or Dean Marlowe if you get him as your safety. So there's six or seven. Mm-hmm. Potentially from last year that have come back. So it's familiarity, the scheme. I think that secondary is probably one of our strongest, not just up front, but in the depth as well. And the way McDermott likes his defensive backs to be, and the way they're drafting, I think that will always be our strongest point.
Mm-hmm. So there's got to be a weakness somewhere, though. Pass rush?
I think that's probably going to be – that potentially is. Cause I know even though we were good against the run, there were times where up the middle the tackling was not up
to standard. Yeah, we had a middle-of-the-road run defense last year. And, I mean, is Ed Oliver's more of a get-to-the-quarterback defensive tackle, though, isn't he?
Yeah, but then you've obviously got – you'll have Star actually –
relying on Star to be like the run-stopping teacher for him.
Yeah, so on one side you have Star, you have Jerry Hughes. They're going to take up at least three men each.
Yeah.
And you'll have Ed Oliver and Trent Murphy on the other side taking up pretty much a one-on-one battle, leaving your linebackers.
Yeah, if we get really aggressive, I think that the linebackers could have a lot of sacks this year.
Yeah, I think this is the year we get that number one defense.
We had the most sacks. We set the record for most sacks in the NFL when we had that Lions coach as our defensive coordinator, right?
Dave Wannestad.
No. Wannestad.
Jim Schwartz.
Schwartz, yeah, definitely not Wannestad. Yeah. Schwartz. When we had Schwartz, we led the league in sacks that year. I think we set the record for most sacks in NFL history that year with him. So, yeah, let's get back to that. That was fun. That was a good defense.
But
always a good defense, never a good offense.
Yeah, I mean, you've got three positions, three parts of the field almost that you could lock down in the passing game. You've got Trey White locking down one side, and you've got Poyd and Hyer locking down the middle. You've just got that other side where Wallace or Johnson is that they're going to that most quarterbacks are going to aim for.
Just about Trey White, though. His pro football focus score took a little bit of a dip last year because he was really handsy. He really increased his penalties from year one to two, and that's not good. So if he can keep his penalties in check for this year, then I think, that'll be something to keep an eye on.
Yeah. So nail down who the Bills, remember this, the Bills will pick for that last spot, both at cornerback and safety.
Pitts and Johnson.
Okay.
Yep. We have three Johnsons in the secondary.
Shame not one of them's Dick.
Ha ha.
Oh, come on. That was come on.
It's almost 11 o'clock. I'm laughing as hard as I can.
Well, no. Okay. So we'll go for Pitts and Johnson. So our roster so far stands Allen, Barkley, McCoy, Gore, Singletary, Perry, DeMarco, Brown, Beasley, Jones, Foster, Andre Roberts, Duke Williams, Tyler Croft, if he's back, if not, Jason Kroom, Knox, Sweeney, and Smith, Dawkins, Spain, Morse, Ford, Inseki, Long, Feliciano, and Teller. That's your offense. Jerry Hughes, Trent Murphy, Mike Love, Shaq Lawson, Star Lutaleli, Harrison, and Jordan Phillips, and Ed Oliver, Tremaine Edmonds, Matt Milano, Lorenzo Alexander, Julian Stanford, Voshon Joseph, Corey Thompson, Trey White, Levi Wallace, Teron and Kevin Johnson, Captain Milleran, Lafayette Pitts, Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde, Kurt Coleman, and Jaquan Johnson.
All the offense and defense. Next show, the all-important special teams breakdown.
What, Stephen Hauschka, Corey Bojorquez, and Reed Ferguson?
All right, great, we're done. That's our 53.
There we go. We've solved it with a couple of weeks to spare. With a week to spare, I knew we could do that quite quickly.
Ten days till the league starts. Ten days till that opening Thursday night game.
And what was it? About six days till cut day.
Yeah, that's gonna be I can't wait for that. Just to finally like. I'm not so much about our roster. I'm just always excited to see who got cut on other teams.
Yeah, I mean,
because for me it used to be, ooh, who could we go get? But then it's also like, why did they just get cut?
Yeah, I mean, with it, I mean, obviously we've got game Thursday night, the last preseason game. I think me and you will get together on the Friday. We've got our own 53-man that we'll do, which more than likely is going to be blown out the window come the 2nd or 3rd of September. But we can obviously put that to the fans on there. So that'll be interesting. And now we go on to the all-time for the defensive backs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the results of last week's or the last episode was actually obviously we had Cornelius Bennett, we had Dal Talley, we both agreed on that. They went with London Fletcher, so my choice for that other linebacker spot.
I guess that's what I get for picking a guy from the 60s.
Well, then again, we both made good arguments on that, I think.
Yeah, I get really though, if London Fletcher would have had stayed with us, I'm probably picking him.
You shouldn't. Let's say he we
was,
don't.
He was like I said, he was good with us. He was great when he left us. Put those two together, and then I'm picking him over my guy who I can't remember right now.
Yeah. I've lost him already.
That's
I'm
all right.
I'm just so excited that I've broken the tie again. So we'll go on to, we'll do cornerback first. So on this one, I'll let you go first.
All right. So back to the 60s. I'm picking George Edward Butch Bird Jr. Butch Bird was a four-time Pro Bowler, three-time first-team All-Pro. He leads the Bills in that approximate value stat I talked about, and yeah, he's the all-time leader in interceptions in Bills history. My second defensive back was a big toss-up between a lot of guys I remember. Was it Nate Clements? Was it Antoine Winfield? Was it Terrence McGee? It was Terrence McGee, who leads the team in all-time pass defense, which is a stat that I was shocked to see only has been kept since 1999. I figured that they would have been tracking that for a little bit longer, but nope, just in 99 did they start tracking PDs. But Terrence McGee leads the Bills all-time in pass defenses.
And he also had that stat, which I mentioned back on one of those team specials we did, that against the Bengals, he's the only guy to actually, in not just for the Bills, but I believe in the NFL, to actually have a kick. Is it, I can't remember if I said kickoff or punt return for a touchdown and an interception for a touchdown in the same game. So that is, he was one
I'm
of mine.
I'm pretty sure that his special teams play leads to his high approximate value. It's not just his defensive, but that's just good all around. It's good to have him on the team because that's part of the game. So,
Yeah, I mean, he was one of mine. He was one of my choices, or one of my three that I whistled down to, which obviously now I've made the two choices. I've gone for Nate Clements.
Yeah.
And also another Nate Adones. I've gone for the Super Bowl era cornerback and
never a bad idea.
Yeah, and also the quarterback was the one that put the put that big hit on Tom Brady. I think a fair few years ago. That's that YouTube sensation.
I love that hit so much. I watch that every now and then.
It sucks
that Brady gets up so quickly from it. I wish he would have stayed down longer and maybe still be down, but...
Yeah, but, I mean, they are the two for me. I mean, obviously, the Bills wouldn't have got to four Super Bowls without that secondary on there. And, obviously, with the Domes being there and actually being, what's he... Was he third in the all-time rankings for interceptions with 26, taking one back for a touchdown? Obviously, we don't have any pass defended stats on there, but four straight years, four on that same cornerback spot, you can't argue with that one. And
no, I mean he was the cornerback back then. So,
and then Nate Clements, he was only second behind McGee. Since past defense actually have been recorded with 87, but he's had 23 interceptions and five of those have gone for touchdowns. And obviously, I'd say everyone's really going to focus mainly on the hit he's actually had. I mean, both of them being Pro Bowls, that's pretty much all they've got for their records and awards.
The secondary that we had from 01 to 03 with Clements and Winfield, I mean, that's, you can't get more shut down than those two guys. That was some good times.
Yeah, I mean, we have honorable mentions for who? I think Gilmore, maybe?
I mean, there's a few guys, but just my two honorable mentions were just, like I just said, Clements and Winfield. I mean, I could have had a longer list. But this one I did off of memory, and then when I realized the stats, I had to add Butch Bird Jr. But the first two guys that came to mind when we were going to do this was Clements and Winfield.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're both this time we've actually both got different picks, which is good. I actually quite like that, because then we've actually now been able to give our own picks without having to actually tread on each other's feet, saying, "Oh yeah, you've got that one, I've got that one."
Well, what do you have? Safety.
I've gone for Jarius Bird.
See, yep, we're gonna share that one.
Yeah, I think yes, he was that safety that we wish could have actually played on for a lot longer with the Bills afterwards. I mean, with us, he was 3-time Pro Bowler, 2-time second all team pro, interception leader in 2009 for us. He had a huge knack of actually taking the ball away. 22 interceptions, 2 for a touchdown, 33 pass deflections.
22 interceptions in only 5 years. That's unbelievable.
He's also had, he's had 4 sacks. I don't know how, can't remember how many of them came with the Bills. I think possibly all 4 of them possibly did. But you've got a guy there that he could play the run, he could play the pass, he could play in the box, he could play out the box. He's one of those, the bird is the word, as the old song went. And my second pick was another guy from the Super Bowl era, Mark Kelso.
Interesting. Yeah. So you skipped the guy from the Super Bowl era, Henry Jones, who was my pick.
Yeah, I think with Kelso, again, I've gone, he's obviously 30 interceptions, 2 return for a touchdown. Without actually watching too much film on both guys, I think potentially I've gone with the name over.
Yeah.
But I think I'm looking at the stats.
Well, yeah, Kelso has the interceptions over Henry Jones, but in terms of like shutdown defense, Henry Jones, third all time in games started for defensive backs. He made the Pro Bowl once, also a first team All Pro that year. He leads all Bills safeties and tackles by a lot, like 200 more than sadly Dante Whitner. The dude was just all over the ball wherever it was. He was there. He might not have the flashy stats like Kelso does with the interceptions. He doesn't come close on interceptions, but he's got that Pro Bowl. He's got that all-team, first-team All-Pro. He's got the tackles, the stuff that Kelso doesn't have.
Yeah, I think with me, I was looking at it. Obviously, you have the two in the quarterback era, the Super Bowl era there. For me, I was looking at the stats, the fact that you would have Jarius Bird with 22 pass, 22 interceptions, Mark Kelso with 30 interceptions guarding that middle.
Yeah.
Maybe, yes, Henry Jones probably comes into it a bit more with the support inside and actually being that lockdown. That's what I've got Jarius Bird as, someone that can actually come into the box on there. So
Jarius Bird was the interception guy. So it's completely opposite for us. But, I mean, I think one of the biggest differences between Henry Jones and Mark Kelso is that Kelso made it as a 10th-round draft pick. Henry Jones was a first-round draft pick.
Yeah.
So kudos to Kelso for that.
Yeah, so I think, that was another factor in, the fact that you've got these guys like Kurt Schultz. He was a 7th-round pick. Steve Freeman, back in 75, he was a 5th-round pick. Jordan Poyer, he's not in the all-time team at the moment because he's still active, but when he came into the league, he was a 7th-round pick. You've got these guys that they've been put in, they've been drafted low, but they've actually outperformed what they're actually, their level, their draft status, to actually become top of their profession in this instance with the Bills. So that's my, that could be another push for Kelso for me. over Henry Jones.
Kelso went to William & Mary.
Yeah.
Where Sean McDermott went. So I wonder if there's some connection there.
Possible. I mean, my honorable mentions for safeties include Brian Scott. He actually came down, played a bit of linebacker as well. Aaron Williams, cornerback and played safety, retired to a really young.
Loved Aaron Williams, yeah.
Yeah. Jim Leonard, unsung hero, actually played a lot of special teams.
I like George Wilson a lot.
Yep. I mean, I even put a shout out maybe even for Corey Graham and Denaris Searcy being a bit later on.
I used to work at a supermarket and we had this one older woman who loved Coy Ware. She met him. She every day during the football season, she would talk to me about how great Coy Ware is and how great he's doing. And did you see him play last week? And I'm like, yeah, he's like the 27th best safety that the Bills have ever had. But I'm never going to forget Coy Ware. Also kind of a fun name.
Yeah.
Not going to get an honorable mention, even though I'm mentioning him. But it's not honorable. It's just a mention to Coy Ware.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say Dante Hittner. Oh, that's Whitner. Sorry, Dante Whitner.
I remember that draft. Embarrassing story. I really wanted us to draft Matt Leinart. And then we take Dante Whitner. I'm like, who is that? whatever. I mean, he wasn't the worst when he was here.
Yeah.
He wasn't bad. Just another situation of when he left, though, he was better. But, he ran his mouth about Buffalo like a jerk.
Yeah. So there will, I'll put that again, put that onto Twitter and Facebook. I mean, we've got Alex with Terrence McGee and
Butch Bird
for cornerbacks and Jarius Bird and Henry Jones, was it?
Yep.
As safety, and me with Nate Clemens and Nate Odoms and Jarius Bird and Mark Kelso as my duo for both cornerback and safety. So we'll put that onto Twitter and Facebook. Reveal.
Yeah, I'm gonna lose this one.
Never know. I've gone for the Super Bowl era, at least on cornerback, but you've gone for it for safety as well.
Yeah.
So both the safety one could be the deciding factor whether they go for the name Mark Kelso or go for the all round Henry Jones. So in that one, we both got players from the Super Bowl era. So this one will be a interesting one, and obviously I'd like to hear other people's suggestions as well. So we'll look eagerly forward to the next episode where we pretty much round off bar the kicker punter.
Oh, we just did that. Are we seriously going to dedicate a show to the kickers and punters?
No.
Well, we have to for the 53 man, right? For the all time team.
For all time, yeah. I wasn't.
Can we just do it right now? It's Brian Moore and Steve Christie.
Okay, right. That sort
or
of.
Chris, thing. It's Chris Moore and Steve Christie.
Okay, I was probably going to say Lindell, but
yeah.
So I mean, all
right, let's do some. Let's do it. Let's do right now. We're just going to take. We're going to do this right now. I'm gonna get their stats. we're doing this right now because I do right not want to do a whole. It obviously wouldn't be a whole show, but let's not spend more time than we need to on kicking.
So
we need to. I'm pretty sure Pro Football Reference doesn't even have like. They shouldn't have kicking stats. Tell me they don't have kicking stats.
They probably do have kicking stats.
Returns, tackles.
I will agree with you, Brian
Moorman. They have punting stats. They don't have field goal stats? Okay, if they have punting stats, they have to have field goal stats.
I'll agree with you that we'll have Brian Moorman. I don't think we need to put that to a vote for the punter. I think
I remember Chris Moore from the 90s, so that's why I'm picking him, but
let's have a look. Oh yeah, there's no hold on. Punt total yards. Ooh, there is no kicking stats.
Nope. So I'm just going to pull them up separately. And it's not going to be Scott Norwood.
Oh, yeah.
All right, give me field goal percentage for Buffalo. Steve Christie's field goal percentage for Buffalo was 78.3. Ryan Lindell's was 83.3. Oh. All right.
I think we're gonna have a
Oh, fine. We'll do it. We'll do it on the next show. God damn it.
We don't have to.
We have to. The stats interest me, so I need to break it down.
Okay. So, but we'll agree. We'll only do the kicker for the all time. I think we're both.
No, let's do. Look, Pro what? Football Reference has punter stats. Let's dive into punter.
Okay.
Stats.
Okay. So next episode. We'll do all time 53 for the special teams, for the kicker and punter.
I can't wait.
Oh, everyone's looking forward to it. But everyone's now listening to this and actually thinking, oh, awesome. Let's we've got to download that.
They're going to tell their friends. This is going to be a must listen show.
That's probably going to be the most downloaded, most listened to episode.
I can't imagine why it wouldn't be. I mean, no other show has been good until the next one. We've exactly. done garbage until that. I mean, it's gonna be the best show you've ever done.
This is I'm already planning it right now for it.
I might not go to sleep tonight. I might just do research all night, and we might record this tomorrow. I love the Great British Bake Off. Let's do this show instead of watching that. No, yeah. We can't do that. My wife killed me for that. Nope.
Also, West Ham on TV as well. Tomorrow's out of the question.
Yeah, all right, some other time.
We'll put out the safety and the cornerback picks onto Twitter and Facebook. And as I say, next episode we'll break down the last preseason game against the Vikings. Both me and Alex will release our 53-man roster. And actually put that to a poll. I think, didn't we say we were going to get them to vote for a forfeit or punishment to whoever loses? Whoever gets the least, did we? Or
here's something that I was hoping you forgot about.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, let's see what the people come up with.
Okay, we'll put that to the people. We'll also talk about kickers and punters.
Yeah.
Yes. And then
I cannot feign my enthusiasm any more than I already am.
And then we go into a preview of the first game against the Jets, and hopefully we'll have a special guest lined up to talk to us about it.
We're working on that. Yep.
So oh yes. One other thing we've got to add.
August 31st is cut day.
Oh no, I was talking about fantasy football.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. We got
yes.
Fantasy football coming up.
Let's dive back into that.
You've got your Yahoo one which needs two spaces left to fill?
Yeah. I mean if you're joining it, right? Then yeah, we'll I'm need one it. More. Yep. So you'll be number 9. We'll be drafting this Saturday. At 7:30. I think it's 7:30. Okay. I'm thinking about when I first put it out there, I said 10-pound buy-in. So I want to kind of stick to that. It's a double flex league. If I get more interest, then I'll kick it open to a 12-team league. But looking forward to that one.
Yep. And I'm taking interest and taking registered interest in setting up a couple more, maybe one, possibly two with demand on the NFL.com. I will go back to the post I put on Facebook and also on Twitter and actually see if we can draw up some interest to be drafting next week. Also got a Survivor Last Man Standing type competition. If you want entry in that, again, drop us a message on the fantasy football topic and post and we'll link you to it, and also potentially looking to do a dynasty fantasy football league on another platform, Sleeper. So
that sounds fun. I need to get into that too.
So
yeah, let me just say, anybody out there listening, if you think you're good at football, fantasy football, you're not. I am. Over the last 5 years, I've placed first, second, third, second, and first. Try and stop me. Nobody in this league can. All right? Yeah,
you want to bet?
Challenge is out there. If I'm in a league, I'm going to be in the top three. Bring it on, guys.
Oh, everyone's heard the challenge now, so if you wanna get the challenge in, get the challenge in, speak to Alex, put a message on the board, and we'll get you in into that league. So we'll post all that stuff up later on today and maybe tomorrow. Is there anything else you want to add?
Go Bills.
Go Bills. Okay, so for this time, until next time. Thank you for listening. Keep subscribing. Keep reviewing. Keep downloading. Keep your ears pierced. Pierced?
Go get your ears pierced.
Yeah, keep your ears peeled. Sorry. For next week's show, where it's going to be so exciting. So from me and Alex.
Kickers and punters.
Yes. So from me and Alex, until next time, it's Go Bills.
Go Bills.
Not us.
Yeah, not us.
You don't know anything about heart. You don't know anything about work.
No. Huh? That's who we are.
Bills on three. One, two, three.